today. At Joan Farnsworth Gordon's house, five doors up from the Barber family home, at 5:45 on a blustery April evening, Zeppelin, the maid, hurries downstairs as the doorbell rings.
I'll get it, Mrs. Farnsworth. Oh, sorry, Mrs. Borden. I'll get it. I'm right here. I'm on my way down. What's the matter with me? Borden, get that through your head. I'm coming. Here I am. Why, Mr. Farnsworth.
Good evening, Zeppelin. Is your mistress here?
Yes, sir.
Well, may I come in?
Who is it, Zeppelin?
It's Mr. Farnsworth.
I'll be right down. Take him into the living room.
Yes, ma'am. You can come in, Mr. Farnsworth.
Thank you so much.
Right this way.
Thank you.
I take your coat and hat.
Never mind, I can't stay long. I've had tea with Emily Stewart across the street. I have a question to ask your mistress. I decided to drop in now and save time.
Yes, sir. She's giving the kids their bath, so she'll be... Why, goodness sake, doorbell, excuse me.
Certainly.
Just sit down anyway. She'll be right down. Come right in, Mr. Barber. This is a nice surprise.
I thought some new children's books in New Begin's window couldn't resist.
Well, they're just getting out of the tub. They'd be glad to see you. You want to go right on up?
Yes. Is Dr. Borden here?
No, sir. He has a late lecture Wednesday.
Russ Farnsworth.
Good evening, Father Barber.
Why, this is Wednesday.
Don't be alarmed, Father Barber. I dropped in because I was in the neighborhood.
Excuse me. I'll go finish dressing the children, and Mrs. Borden can come down.
Yes. I have a question or two to ask Joan. How are you, sir? What do you hear from Hazel and Dan?
They are in Switzerland.
Oh, really? Pinky's marriage to Greta must have come as quite a shock at that distance. I understand Pinky has gone to work for Muni. Is that true? Hoping to be a gripman on a cable car, if I can believe the gossip.
You were visiting Emily Stewart.
How astute of you. Yes, I must tell you something she said about you. I thought it was rather generous. She said she'd heard Pinky had always secretly yearned to work on the cable car since boyhood.
Yes.
And Emily Stewart said it was reported to her that you had said, the boy is going to be a gripman on a boyhood dream. Well, she said that while you rarely agreed about anything, she must admit that Henry Barber had a gift for aptly stating the case.
Yes, but I can get along very well without compliments.
Hello, Grandfather.
Yes. Excuse me, Ross.
Certainly, sir.
I'll be right with you, Ross.
Oh, there's no hurry, Joan.
I brought books for the children.
Oh, go right on up, Grandfather. They'll be delighted to see you.
Nothing I can do down here?
No. Ray will be home shortly. Go on up to the nursery. They heard your voice. They know you're here.
Yes. If you should want me for anything, call me.
I will, Grandfather. Well, Ross.
Please forgive me. I won't even ask to see the children, since this is an extra, as it were. I had tea with Emily Stewart, and she told me something which I find quite disturbing. I wanted to be reassured, or I knew I shouldn't sleep a wink.
Yes?
But won't you sit down so that I may?
If you insist.
Thank you. I promise not to stay. Mrs. Stewart tells me Dr. Borden's sabbatical begins in June, and that you two plan to go to Yucatan on a dig. Is that correct?
I could answer that, of course, but I fail to see how it concerns you.
I naturally would like to know what you plan to do about the children.
Raymond says there are many adults in Yucatan, so it must follow they have children there, and most of them survive.
Very witty. Does that mean you plan to take Johnny and Tina with you? That is a legitimate question, you know. After all, I am their father, and if you are planning to take them off into some Central American jungle, I certainly expect to be kept informed.
If we should decide to take them, I'm sure you'll hear all about it.
That's very generous of you. What do you propose to let me do? Fly to Yucatan on the first and last Fridays for my pitiful two-hour visit twice a month?
Ross, I don't know where Emily Stewart got her information.
She got it where she always gets it, from Mary Lou.
And always a little distorted, don't you remember? Sifted through a teenager's viewpoint.
What I'm trying to get at is the kernel of truth, Joan. Are you going to Yucatan, and are you planning to take the children?
Raymond has had an offer. We have not yet decided.
I see.
I asked him to find out what sort of accommodations there would be for Zeppelin and the children in the village in the event we do decide to take them.
Do decide to take them? With my concurrence, you mean? Because you aren't taking the children out of the country without my approval, Joan. You'll be in contempt of court if you attempt to.
Ross, we love the children, too. We're certainly not going to subject them to any sort of risk.
We love them. You mean you and their stepfather.
Well, you certainly don't object, do you? They're surrounded with love. Everybody loves them.
Hey, where's my bride?
Oh, Ray, thank goodness.
You know, in ancient Japan, when a man came home from work, his women were at the front door down on both knees holding bowls of smoked salmon canapes and hot hors d'oeuvre. Oh,
darling, how glad I am you got home. Here's my husband, Ross. Talk it over with him.
Dr. Raymond Borden hands Joan his topcoat and stops in the doorway to survey Joan's former husband with a look of weary disapproval.
This isn't Friday. Wednesday, isn't it?
Ross had tea with Emily Stewart.
I took the liberty of dropping in because I felt compelled to verify a rumor.
Ah, and so now you're leaving?
I felt I must make this clear to Joan, and to you, too, if necessary. I would seriously object to your taking my children to Central America in June.
Why?
Well, after all, I have joint custody. The court will respect my wishes, too, I presume. And after all, Joan's friend Judge Hallam has retired, which might make it easier to get an unprejudiced decision. I feel very, very strongly after Tina's illness this spring that she most certainly shouldn't be subjected to the dangers of a semi-tropical country. Mother and I once visited Yucatan, and while we were very strict about drinking only bottled water, Mother became dreadfully ill at Merida, dreadfully. I thought I was going to lose her. So I think before you obligate yourselves in any fashion, we will have, first, a medical opinion as to how Tina might react to such a trip.
Oh, Ross.
Second, my attorney, my new attorney, will have to be consulted. And finally, the entire matter must be submitted to the court. Unless, of course, you decide to respect my wishes in the matter, which would be the decent thing.
Oh, well, when we want guidance on the decent thing to do, we'll choose our sources.
Now, there's no need to be unpleasant about it, sir. I'm quite within my rights. The children are being alienated from me as it is. On my last visit, I couldn't pry them away from the subject of archaeology and Mama's wedding. So I know what you're doing.
Oh, now, look here.
Oh, Ray, it's all right.
There, you see, Joan agrees with me. I'm quite within my rights.
I didn't say I agreed with you. You're creating a difficulty about nothing whatever. We haven't even decided what we're going to do.
However, let me say this. Let me make it good and clear, Farnsworth.
Say, please.
No, I'll handle it. I've got a year for study. I plan to spend a good deal of it abroad in one place or another. I don't propose to go without my wife, and if she wants the children and her maid to travel with her, that's certainly her privilege and she can afford it. So the kids will go with us, and if you want to prevent it, do what you can.
Ray.
No, if he wants trouble. I told him before, he can have it. Now, there's been a lot of talk. Let's see him make a move. I'd welcome it.
That's putting it very clearly, Dr. Borden. It's exactly what I wanted to know. Where's my hat, please?
Oh, find it for him quick.
Oh, here you are.
Thank you. And my coat. Oh, thank you.
Okay, let's go. Now, you go do your worst, Mr. Farnsworth. Talk to your attorneys. Talk to the judge. Bear down and louse things up, if that's what you enjoy. But I'll tell you now. Joan and I are going to live our lives and take the children with us when we travel. If we have to fight it out with you first, good. Let's get at it. But for now, out you go. Good night. Well, honey, otherwise, what kind of a day did you have?
Coming downstairs from the nursery, walks in on a spirited exchange in the living room.
But, Ray, why challenge him? Do you like picking a fight?
Sure, pussyfooting never got anybody anywhere.
But we're not even sure the children ought to go with us.
Okay, maybe not, but we'll do it your way, not his. That's my point. Oh, Father Barber, how are you, sir? Sorry, can't ask you to stay. We're having our first quarrel.
Oh, Ray.
Has to be a first one. But don't worry, sir, I'll win it. Zeppelin, Mr. Barber's hat and coat. Glad you dropped in, sir. Come anytime.
Good night, Grandfather. I guess this is what it's like to have a man around the house.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 14, Book 134, Mutton Dressed as Lamb.